Hey, 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 welcome to today's program. I am your host, Dennis R. Sumlin, broadcasting to you from New York City. Welcome to the Core Confidence Life, CCL. On today's program, we're going to be talking about stress. That's right, stress. You know, what causes stress? You know, what brings it on? And how do we handle it when it's here? And what are some of the adverse effects of stress? Yeah, I got a lot to say about that, folks, as we move ahead. Also, on today's guest segment, we're going to be talking about meditation. Mindful meditation, and a particular mindful meditation practice. So we have a guest coming on. He is a meditation teacher and a friend of mine. And so we're going to get deep into meditation and mindfulness and all the benefits that can spring from that. All right, now here's the disclaimer. I may use four-letter words that most people categorize as curses, all right? Because we believe in full, honest, direct speech here on the program. And you have been warned. Let's do it. Thanks for listening to the show. I'm Dennis R. Sumlin. And if it's your first time here, this is the Core Confidence Life. And I'm Dennis. I am a certified coach, consultant, and educator. And the purpose of this show is for the education, development, and success for soul-centered men. So, you know, if you want to take more control of your life, stop second-guessing yourself, stop comparing yourself, stop playing small. The Core Confidence Life is dedicated for the success of soul-centered men. So that's what we're here doing. That is our mission. So I'm glad for you to join me today. All right, so the first topic on the table, stress. What is stress? You know, as men, you know, we deal with a lot of stress, right? We got stress from work. You know, if you're an entrepreneur like me, you know, trying to run your own business, or if you work for someone or whatever the case is, you know, our careers is a big source of stress. Another source of stress, like family. Family responsibilities, taking care of the kids, running the household in a way is a source of stress. Relationships, you know what I'm saying? Whether you have a partner or whether you're single looking for them, there's stress involved in that. You know, it's so many things that can stress us out as men. And it's important for us to be able to acknowledge and then deal with all the stressors that we have, so it doesn't bring us down, all right? So as far as the body is concerned, stress basically is not a bad word. We need certain levels of stress. And in fact, biologically, stress actually helps keep us safe because, you know, stress is associated with the fight or flight thing that we have, you know, and there's several hormones involved in the fight or flight reaction in our bodies. You know, one of those hormones is adrenaline, you know, to basically to get us to move and to get us to act, you know, and what assists adrenaline is norepinephrine. You know, that assists adrenaline. It does something similar to adrenaline, and they both kind of act instantly where we're in serious danger to get us out of that danger or defend ourselves, right? The third element of all that is cortisol. You know, you may hear cortisol a lot when we talk about lowering hormones. We always talk about lowering the cortisol level because that is the hormone that keeps our body regulated during real stressful times. That's the thing that keeps us eating. That's the thing that keeps our blood pressure level during stressful times, so it doesn't get out of whack. So just remember that word cortisol, because that is the focus on a lot of the things that happen to us when stress gets out of hand, you know. So because cortisol has this effect of regulating the blood pressure, it has this effect of suppressing non-essential elements so we can address the problem at hand. if we're in a stressful situation. It helps us keep nutrition in our bodies as it promotes us to eat. All right. So healthy cortisone levels when we're stressed is perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. But where we get in trouble is when those cortisol levels go up. And why do those cortisol levels go up? It's because we're stressing out about things that aren't actual emergencies. You know, the fight or flight system is when we're being chased by a bear or something like that, you know. It served us well when we're out in the woods and we have a bear after us at dinner time, you know, or if we're facing another real serious danger, something that threatens our lives or something we need to get away from or an attack that we need to defend ourselves from, you know, that's fine. But when we allow ourselves to stress out over things that actually don't present any dangers, we start messing with the hormones in our body. We cause our brain to send out stress hormones when we're really not in a flight or fight situation, right? And when the body sends out extra or elevated levels of cortisol, like anything else, something good quickly becomes something toxic. So remember, every good thing can become toxic if it's used too much. And cortisol is one of those things. So if we have too much cortisol surging through our veins, instead of regulating our blood pressure, it elevates it. Remember, this is a stress hormone. It's designed to help us survive real stressful situations, dangerous situations. But when we're stressed out for non-life-threatening reasons, then our brain starts sending out these hormones. It's almost like, you know, you're calling 911 when there's no emergency, right? What happens if you called 911 all the time because of no emergency? Let's say you called 911 because you spilled something, or you called 911 because your kid didn't do their homework the previous night. You know, 911 is for emergencies only, right? That's one of the first things we learn when we learn how to use the phone, right? Don't dial 911 unless you mean it. I think in the UK it's 999. That's right, 999 in the UK. Don't dial these numbers if you really don't need emergency help, right? But when we allow ourselves to be stressed about the everyday ups and downs, work, school, relationships, you know, responsibilities, commitments, when we allow ourselves to let those things stress us out, it's like we're picking up the phone and calling 911 for really no reason. And so what does that do? Elevated levels of cortisol makes our blood pressure go up. It causes us to overeat. And so it contributes to obesity, gaining weight. And of course, we're eating things that are sugary and full of carbs because that's what we need for energy when it's time to get up and skedaddle. But if we're just getting stressed out over everyday things, then we end up in a situation that's not healthy. On top of that, you know, as men, we kind of hide what we're going through. You know, we kind of hide our stress, our anxiety, our anger, and we just kind of bottle it all up and we don't give it an outlet. You know, sometimes we could even deny that we're stressed out. Meanwhile, taking on more and more responsibilities and allowing ourselves more and more things to weigh us down. Right? So how do we get out of that circle? How do we get out of that stress circle? How do we stop cortisol from eating away at our body? You know, high blood pressure. Who wants that? Overeating, heart problems, you know, spiraling into depression. Who wants any of that? So how do we get away from that? Well, first, I would say recognize that you do get stressed out. Recognize that you are going through stress. You know, I have been one of those people, you know, in my life at different times denying, you know, my more uncomfortable feelings, denying anger, like not really considering stress factors, just letting things pile on and not really acknowledging that I'm stressed out, that I need a break, that I need an outlet. Right? And so when we don't acknowledge our stress, we can't begin to get away from it and solve it and ease its deleterious effects. So the first thing I would say is recognize stress. Recognize that you get stressed out. I get stressed out. As men, we have a lot of pressures on our shoulder every day. You know, family and jobs and everything else. And it can be stressful. It can weigh on us. And it's important that we acknowledge that. Once you acknowledge that you are experiencing stress, that there is a problem present, then we can go about addressing it. Right? So how do we begin to address the stress? Once we've acknowledged that it's there, how do we begin to address that? How do we begin to bring those cortisol levels down? Well, the first thing I want to say, I want to address is be careful of quick fixes when we're dealing with stress. Because there's several things that happen when we're dealing with stress. We're looking for quick fixes and ways of soothing it. So we turn to what I call temporary pleasures and vices, right? So when we're feeling stressed out, sometimes, you know, we want to turn to quick fixes. So be careful. When you're feeling stressed out, this is not the time for alcohol, right? Try to reduce your amount of alcohol when you're feeling stressed out. Don't turn to the bottle, right? Don't turn to caffeine, you know, to relieve stress. Right? Don't turn to any kind of like drugs. Like you want to roll up a blunt, smoke a blunt or whatever, you know, smoke some cannabis or whatever else. Try to reduce all that when it's a stressful time, because we get compulsive and we start clinging to things that seem like they're a good fix. And the next thing you know, we're addicted. Right. So also, a lot of times, you know, let's face it, men, sometimes we a quick fix to a stressful moment or situation is a nice orgasm. Right. But that's also something we can steer away from during stressful times. So it's important not to lean on quick fixes, right? Don't grab the bottle. Don't light the blunt. You know, don't masturbate in order to let out the stress. So we don't want those things to turn into compulsions. And that's one of the ways that vices and activities like that turn into compulsions, is that we're looking for that quick fix outlet from stress. You know, and it works on a temporary level. It works. It can work on an immediate level. But on the long term, stress just comes back and you don't actually solve the actual root problem of the stress. You're just masking it. Right. So how do we go about actually reducing it? All right. So one thing I did recently when I went away on the trip, you know, I was experiencing a lot of stress, a lot of pent up energy. Stressful energy, stuff weighing on my shoulders, responsibilities in my head, and I needed to let it out. It's important that you let out the stress. Find an avenue to really let out all of what's inside of you. Because you see, as men, we tend to hold things in. We want to stay stoic. We want to stay strong. You know, nothing gets us down. We can't break. We can't buckle. We have to be the man. All right? And letting off stress and opening up doesn't make us less than men. It makes us more men, more manly. I always think it's more manly to deal with your inner issues and your emotions. And it's less manly to run from them and suppress them and not recognize them. It makes you more of a man to recognize the burdens and their toll on you and your psyche. So find a safe space. I would say, for me, I use two things. One, I have some good friends I can talk to about stress, and hopefully you do too. Hopefully you have someone in your life that you can talk to about stress, to let off steam, to say whatever you want to say, whether it's anger, whether it's whatever in your head. Hopefully you have a safe space, a dude you can call up, a best friend you can call up and say, yo, I'm feeling stressed. Here's what's going on. And if you need to scream, if you need to cry, you know, if you need to do whatever, hopefully, you know, we have that. Some people don't have that, but I find that to be extremely helpful if we have a few buddies that we can turn to, right? And also using stress journaling. Write things down. Get it all out on paper. It's important to express your emotions. Get it all out on paper, right? Just express it. Don't bottle it up. And with a stress journal, you know that no one's ever going to see it. It's yours. It's private. But it's important to just write it all down and get it all out, right? I talk extensively about stress on the Core Confidence Life website, so you can go there and find articles. Also, I'm going to link to a few articles on the effects of stress and how to deal with it. Some articles from Psych Central, which, you know, I love that website, Huffington Post, all of these articles there are going to be on the show notes where you can kind of do some more research on it, right? All right, so confiding in people, writing things down, physical activity, very important, physical activity, working out, exercise, anything you can do, any physical activity to let off steam, let off stress, you know, dealing with that. Because stress is just energy. Remember that. Stress, all stress is what everything is, energy. And if we don't let that energy off or channel it somehow, it's going to screw us up, right? So physical activity, working out, lifting weights, going for a run, maybe a punching bag, right? See, a lot of these things have the great benefit of lowering your cortisol level, right? So I'll give you a couple of examples. To lower your cortisol level 66%, listen to some music. Yeah, listen to some music. You ever have a great playlist that you have? Turn on a playlist. Make a list of your favorite songs, you know, stuff. When you're feeling stressed out, flip that on. Flip it on in the morning so you can get your day off to an excellent start, right? And that will lower your cortisol level 66%, right? To lower your cortisol level 50%, get enough sleep. It's very important to get enough sleep. They recommend 8 hours. Right. Because when you're sleeping, your body repairs and replenishes itself. And so you're giving your body time to get rid of all those excess cortisol stress hormones from the previous day. So lowering your cortisol level 50% and get enough sleep. Also, to lower your cortisol level 25%. Do something spiritual. Right. And I'm going to come back around to that. But I also do want to stress. I do want to stress about stress is one of the ways that we can reduce our amount of stress is two letters. N-O. A lot of times we end up in stress because we commit ourselves to too many things, too many obligations. And I've done this before. I've done this. I've said yes more times than I should and committed to things just because I thought I should or I thought it sounded good at that very moment. And I just end up with too many things on my plate, right? And I needed to really reduce the amount of time I said yes to things. Reduce the amount of commitments that you make. Reduce the amount of things you have to do on your plate, you know? Say no more often than you say yes. Only say yes to things you really, really want to do, right? Don't feel pressured by obligations or friendships or whatever, just because you don't, stress could ruin your health. And you don't want to be the one to take yourself out just on something that we can prevent, like stress, right? So, you know, see the show notes and think about it. How much stress are you experiencing per day, right? Do you experience a lot of stress? What's your stress level from 1 to 10? Think about that. Write that down, right? What's your stress level from 1 to 10? Right? And how can you make that lower? Whatever the number is. If your stress level is 3, then hey, woo! But if your stress level is 9, yeah, how can you make that lower? Also, what are you doing? What temporary things are you doing to fix that stress? Are you drinking too much? You know, slow down with that. Too much caffeine, slow down with that, you know, as far as using it to alleviate stress, right? Sure, right. So going back to this 25%, lowering your cortisol 25%, how do you do that? You do something spiritual. Now, if you're the religious type, that's something spiritual is, you know, maybe going to church or something, or reading your books or something like that. But also, what goes into this spiritual realm for me is connecting to the spirit on the inside of all of us. We all are spirits having a human experience, all right? And so when we connect to our soul, we increase our level of happiness and success, and we lower stress, right? We also lower stress by meditation and mindful practice. And so coming up on our next segment, we're going to talk about meditation and mindful practice. In a previous show, we spoke about the idea of being able to control your thoughts, because, you know, your thoughts make up your actions. Every action starts out as a thought. And while we can't always control the flow of everything that goes through our head, we can choose what to pay attention to, right? So we have control over our thoughts to a degree because we can choose what thoughts we pay attention to. And we can consciously give ourselves thoughts that we want to have, right? And so we spoke about that in a previous show. And now we're going to talk about mindful meditation with someone who's trained in all of this. And this relates to the stress conversation because we're talking about lowering cortisol levels. We're talking about ways around stress. We're talking about ways to deal with stress at its core and not use vice and surface solutions to just mask the effects. So get ready, right? It's time to lower stress and understand the powers of meditation. Thomas Tvedt aims to make the world a better place through music and meditation. Residing in Oslo, Norway, Mr. Tvedt is a trained classical singer. He holds a bachelor's degree in music education and is currently studying to be a music therapist. Mr. Tvedt is also a meditation teacher and is on the program today to share a 5-step meditation practice with everyone. So we're going to be talking about mindful meditation with a good friend of mine, Thomas Tvedt.
All right, we are on the Core Confidence Life, and with me today is Thomas Tvedt, and we're talking about meditation. So, Mr. Teacher, how are you today?
I'm very good. It's late in the afternoon here, so I'm sitting here sipping my coffee and enjoying myself. I'm in Norway, so here it's pretty relatively cold, even though it's June.
All right, so we're talking about meditation today, and I know there's all different forms of meditation. And you teach a particular kind of meditation. You just got some training and you're about to fly off and become a certified teacher. So what kind of meditation is this?
So this is a kind of meditation called ascension meditation. And so it's a mantra based meditation. And I was talking to a guy from India the other day when we were talking about different kinds of meditation, and he said, you know, whatever you want, just pick the method that you like. It's like one, some like this coffee and some like that. But for me, I found this thing called ascension meditation, and I really enjoy that. So it's like I said, it's mantra based. So meaning that what you like meditate on are like mantras, like words and sentences in your own language, in your own mother tongue.
So are these specific mantras that are assigned, or do you pick your own? How does this process work?
So the course that you take, you know, when you're learning this is it goes from Friday to Sunday, or 3 days. And on the course you learn 4 mantras that are based in 4, you know, root emotions. So the first technique is based on what's the English word? Appreciation. And the second is based in gratitude, and the third is in love, and the fourth is in compassion. And so the mantras are partly the same for everybody, and partly you like fill in your own words. And in the course, you'll get instructions on, you know, what word to choose. But it's partly the same for everybody, and it's partly your own, because, you know, what you will be working on is like your own personal stuff. So obviously, it's kind of yours as well.
Yeah, you know, meditation is very, very personal, and I certainly find benefit in meditating, and so this is great stuff. So what are those 4 categories again?
So the first one is appreciation or praise, second, gratitude, third, love, and fourth, compassion. And the reason why they're put in this order, so all of these are like up spiraling emotions in a way, so they're all positive, but you know, we all have had experiences with love, for instance, that can be very positive, but also can be pretty negative. So the reason why the first one is appreciation is because almost every time, you know, even though if you don't like a person, for instance, you can still find something to appreciate about that person. So I may not like this guy, but I can still say that, you know, I think his hair is great, or I think on that in the job he's doing a very great job, even though I don't like the guy. So that's why they start with appreciation, and then it goes up from there.
All right, so appreciation, I want to go through these one by one, just briefly. Yeah. So appreciation, you're supposed to use that and think of someone who you don't like and find something good about them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like why they use praise, but the actual technique isn't about, you know, going around finding people that you don't like and praising them. So it's just that, you know, the first emotion that we want to base our life in, like, or the state we want to come into, is like appreciation. That's why it's first, you know, because we can appreciate things that we like and things that we even don't like.
So appreciate is just appreciating all for all of its beauty, even if in reality we don't necessarily like that person or that situation. But appreciation is just appreciating all.
Just opening
up yourself to all kinds of possibilities of appreciation, regardless on whether you actually like the person or situation or not. It's about neutralizing that negativity and just expanding the appreciation for the fact that something even exists.
Exactly. And then you're working on some pretty deep levels of, you know, on your own judgment. Because when you go from a perspective of judging things as being bad, if you go from there to instead look on things as they're, you know, like you have the perspective that there's always something there for you to appreciate, then it's going to make a huge change, you know, on how you look on people and situations and stuff in your life. If you have that attitude instead of, you know, going about it with the old internal judgments that we all have about stuff and things and people.
That's very powerful. Just even that first one, appreciation, is very powerful, because even that alone, you concentrate on that, that already starts to center you. Like, wow, you know, just get rid of all that negativity. Look at your situation. Look at life and find things to appreciate about that and hone in on that emotion. That's already starting to be powerful. So, and the next one, let's talk about the next one.
Yep. Which is gratitude.
That's one of my buzzwords. Gratitude and everything. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. You know, my meditation teacher said once, you know, it wasn't to me, but it was to another person who was meditating, and she had a lot of troubles in her life, and they were like together in an elevator, and he didn't have much time, but she said, you know, my life is really, really going the wrong way, and I don't know what to do. And he said, you know, sit down every day and write a list of 5 things that you're grateful for in your life. And she said, like, what the heck, you know, I have like massive problems here. And he said, well, just do it, you know. And she did, and just doing that a couple of days started shifting her perspective on things. So the technique that's based on gratitude, it's basically like opening up for the possibility that, you know, that your life and your own body, you know, yourself and the world around you is something that actually is something really great. And so, you know, when you come from a place of appreciation, then the second natural, you know, place to come to is to feel grateful for something. Is to get this kind of gratitude view on things. So appreciation leads to gratitude. So that's why it's second in line.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Like, once you start getting rid of all of your negativity in the appreciation phase, you strip away all the "I don't like you" and "you're ugly." You know, just strip away all of that. Yeah, the natural evolution of that is gratitude. Now that I see all the good, let me just focus on being grateful for that.
Exactly.
And that brings us to the number 3.
Yes, which is love. And in this case, you know, it's not love as in this falling in love kind of pink feeling where everything is just it's awesome. But it's more of a, you know, love as in a acceptance for everything as it is, you know, seeing everything it's in a perfect space and perfect, you know, spot. And also, you know, seeing other people as that, other situation as that, as being perfect, you know, in a way, and accept that, but also doing the same on yourself, that there's actually nothing wrong with you as you are right now. So yeah, which you know, that's that kind of love that they talk about.
The unconditional love. Now we're talking about acceptance and unconditional love. So you know, once you've praised or appreciated something, then you're grateful for it. And now we're just going to practice unconditional love. And it's also, I'm glad you mentioned doing it to yourself. Because what I always say, you know, it's loving other people or loving things is cool, but do you love yourself? You start with loving yourself. And when you can love yourself and accept yourself for who you are, faults and all, you're more open to loving other people. Because everything starts with the self.
So, exactly.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Okay, and that leads us to the fourth stage in this,
which is compassion. And so compassion in the way that, you know, in the way that you see others and also how you see yourself. So usually many of us have a tendency to, like, when we see someone that we want to help, for instance, or that we feel sorry for, we usually like have a tendency to like jump into the hole with them and sit there and I feel so sorry for you, or so instead, but instead here with this kind of in this connotation of the word, compassion means something like, instead of jumping into the hole with someone, then instead you can like stand on the edge and offer them a ladder, like offer them and see them from the place that, you know, that, so you're maybe in a tricky situation, but you're not broken and you're definitely able to like switch out of it. And so all of these, like all of these four states that we just talked about, it's like, it's like a natural states that you'll get to when you use these mantras. But the mantras in themselves are like, as we're taught anyway, are like mechanical mantras. So you sit down, you close your eyes, and you use the mantras, and you don't need to, you know, you don't need to feel appreciation or feel gratitude. Experiencing those states comes like naturally when you use the mantras for a certain period of time. So it is no need to like go in and, oh, now I need to feel this or I need to feel that. No, it's more of a mechanical thing. So you just do it and then see what happens, you know. And but what's been happening with, I think it's at least like 10,000 people who have learned this, and the majority of those people say that, you know, when I use this for 5-6 weeks sometimes during the day, that's the natural states I come into after using them. And I think it's important to mention it, you know, because at least some kinds of meditation that I've tried before are like very focused on experiencing this certain experience, or having this kind of particular state that you come into, but this is more of a mechanical thing that you just do and then see what happens.
Yeah, I find, you know, once you get into the mood of the meditation that you're in, once you start sliding into that state, like, for example, as you were saying, the first stage, and you naturally move through those stages, and once you start doing that, it changes your, I guess what I say, set point, your default mood per day. I think we have a default mood per day. Like, you know, some people are, when things are kind of calm and normal, some people are generally happy. Some people are generally depressed. Some people are generally neutral, you know, if everything is calm. That's our default mood setting. And I think that when you use meditation, whether this one or whatever, it slowly starts to reset your mood set. So then you kind of walk around when everything is, you know, kind of neutral. You walk around in a happier mind frame to start. And then that's a better springboard to deal with the ups and downs of life.
Exactly. And then it's also, you know, as you keep doing this, whatever kind of meditation, anyway, when you keep using it, you get, like you say, like a different kind of starting point, but also you get this, you know, more and more clearly this choice to see that when you slip out of it, or when something happens that maybe disturbing or frightening or whatever, then you have more and more of the choice to, you know, to come back to the present moment, which is usually the goal with all kind of meditation, to be present. Because when you're present, then you're not in the future, you're not in the past, but then you're here and you're just showing up for life exactly as it is.
You know, and this is a reoccurring theme on here on the Core Confidence Life, is staying present. I'm always talking about mindfulness and staying present in where you are. Because, you know, living from the past is not going to address things in the present. Living from the future hasn't happened yet. So really staying present is really the only, for lack of a better term, dimension that we should be focusing on. I know that's tough, you know, and sometimes we do need to think about the future, and we can learn from our past. So there's nothing wrong with reflecting a little bit and planning a little bit, because that's important. But as far as walking around every day, it's good to stay present in the moment so you can gather all the senses and emotions and activities of that moment and be truly there.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, at least for me, when I started meditating, I slowly started to become aware of how much time I actually spend during my day in another space and in another time. Like, so I was like, for instance, I'm educated as a singer, so I often do concerts, but I would find that, you know, sometimes before preparing, when preparing for a concert, I would be practicing and doing all this stuff, but suddenly I would see that, you know, for the last 10 minutes, I've just been in my head planning what to do when the concert actually starts, which is like completely a waste of time, because the best way of preparing for it would be just to stay present here in the rehearsal instead of going 20 minutes or 20 days into the future, trying to imagine what's going to happen, because usually what I imagine about the future has been wrong. So, I think it's a much better and much safer actually option just to stay here instead of trying to, like, you know, come up with all kind of divinations, because you most of the time ain't gonna get it right.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about how you came to this. I mean, you know, you weren't born a meditation teacher. So what brought you to this this practice of meditation, and then deciding to actually go into it and teach other people? So what caused you to start this meditation? What's your story? What brought you here?
Well, I guess as long as I can remember, I've always been, you know, interested in all these gurus and meditation guys and people who did like something unusual. And so, you know, and I also watching the Star Wars movies and stuff like that, I was like, as a child, very, very interested and fascinated about it. And then when I moved out from my parents' place and into my own place, I slowly started experiencing, you know, a regular daily life stress building up, and it kept building and building, but I wasn't really aware of it. And so instead of, you know, and because I didn't see it, I wasn't able to actually deal with it. So it ended up with having some, you know, pretty nasty and exhausting anxiety attacks, panic attacks that came up, probably because my system was, you know, overloaded with information and stuff I needed to do, and stress I wasn't able to deal with. And so I started, you know, not necessarily consciously, but I started searching for something that could, you know, make me grow further, make me more able to deal with stuff. And so I started, you know, I went to a psychologist. I did go to therapy, like by classical therapy, for half a year, which was great. But then she was going to have a child, and so she moved away. And the week after that, I was, you know, like many of us do, I was sitting on Facebook, and then one event showed up that was named Ascension Meditation Introduction Course for Musicians. And so I thought, well, why not give it a go? I saw that some of my friends were attending it, and so I figured, you know, it's just a weekend course, and if I don't like it, then I can just screw it. So I just went for it and didn't have, you know, high expectations at all. I just, you know, I just wanted to check it out because I always wanted to learn to meditate, and this seems to be like a pretty short course. So you know, I showed up being interested, but also being relatively skeptical and asking a lot of, you know, critical questions and why do you do it this way, why do you do it that way, even though it wasn't really something spectacular they did, but I just had a need for, you know, asking all the weird questions. And so what actually happened was, when I was done with the course, then the instruction, when you're done learning, is that you sit down and close your eyes and meditate for like two or three times a day, approximately 20 minutes each time, and for like 5 or 6 weeks before you decide if this is something for you, you know, because the body and the nerve system probably need some time to adjust to this new thing that you're doing, and you probably need, you know, to give it some time to see if it actually is something that you want to commit your time to. So I just, you know, because I'd gone through the course, so I figured, why not give it a go? And I did that, and you know, I thought it was fun. Actually, the main reason why I kept doing it in the beginning was because I thought it was like, you know, it felt good when I sat there. Usually when I was on my own, I would either be on the computer or be eating or be sleeping, whatever. So I thought it was kind of a nice activity to have, just to sit down and use these mantras, and you know, it felt great and I slept better and so on and so on. But the real eye opener for me came like maybe 5 or 6 months after I took the course, you know, because I hadn't like seen some massive change in my life. But then I learned in June, I think, and then in October I suddenly have one of these panic attacks coming at me. And I thought like, oh, Jesus Christ, you know, here it comes again, and became hard to breathe. And I felt my heart beating really fast. And I thought, oh, no, here, you know, here it comes again. But then I realized that, you know, I used to have those panic attacks like twice a week or once a week. But after I learned to meditate, I actually hadn't had one. And the first time I got it was like 5 months after that. And I thought like, you know, Jesus, if this is like, well, I mean, it could be many things that stopped the attacks from coming. But my guess would be that the meditation had something to do with it. And so that's when I like got my real eye opener, because it took away something really painful from my life. And so I kept doing it. And now I haven't had one of these attacks for like 3 or 4 years. So in my case, it's been like a blessing, you know. It's been life changing, and it keeps even now, it keeps evolving, and it keeps, you know, I see stuff every day that changes, and I see more and more places in my life where I can grow even more. So it's like an endless journey, which I like, you know. Like there's no point that says that now you're done. No, there's always more places where I can grow, which I think is awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's my story.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're always growing as individuals anyway. So, all right. So it's one thing to benefit from meditation, and I've definitely benefited in a lot of areas, but what made you teach it now? Because everyone that meditates don't have to go out there and teach it. So, you know, just like everyone who believes in personal growth and so forth, don't have to do talk shows about it. So what made you decide, you know what, I'm going to teach other people this stuff. And I'm going to get in front of a classroom, and I'm going to meditate, and I'm going to teach people this stuff. What made you decide to do that?
A bunch of reasons, but mainly because it's made such a huge impact in my own life. You know, it's made an impact on my work, on my studies, on my relationship to my family, on my relationship to my girlfriend, on my relationship, you know, on my relationship to myself, actually. And so generally it makes me a better person, as I see it anyway, both in my private life and personal life and professional life. And so I figured, you know, if I can bring this gift to others, then I'm going to do it. So I have the resources to do it. And so then why not? Keeping it to myself would be a kind of ego thing. So, so that's why.
Ah, even in those two sentences, you brought up a lot of good things. So helping you in your personal life, you know, one thing that I wouldn't say I was shocked at, but when I started meditating and really taking it seriously and really just getting into it, and now I have a routine of meditation, the areas of my life that improves is kind of a little bit of a shock to me, because I didn't expect, okay, meditation improves my consciousness, it improves my work performance. You know, meditation could also improve sex. It could also improve communication. And like, you don't even know how deep the benefits are of meditation and mindfulness until you go in and practice it and live that way. And then you start to see, oh, you know, things are more intense. Things are more real. The sex is even better. The communication is even stronger. My self-love is even, you know, larger. So, you know, I definitely encourage everyone to take this up. It's definitely something. So you're talking about a particular kind of meditation. So Are you into any other kinds of meditation? This is the only one you do. Tell me about that.
So yeah, well, I used to do like other kinds, which wasn't like something like seriously. It was more, I was like Googling and see like how to meditate, and then got up a lot of, you know, easy stuff like sit down and close your eyes and see this flame in front of your eyes kind of thing, and then focus on that. And so I actually did that some time before I started doing this one. But and I don't know, it probably was something good about that too. But what was great about actually going to this course was that then I had a community I could talk to. I had like teachers I could ask when I got stuck or so on something, or when I was wondering like, you know, is this working? Or so for me, after I learned this, this is what I'm doing, you know, because it's up till now, at least, it's been like enough for me, and I don't see why I should like divide my attention on other kind of meditations. So I think, you know, whatever we do, I think it's great to have like this one pointed focus. So it's great to check out different things, but at some point, I think it's also good, you know, to stick with something and go with that and see where that takes you. It's like riding different horses at the same time. You know, it's kind of tricky.
Absolutely. I definitely understand, you know, when you're having a practice, you stick to that practice and get the benefits out of that particular practice. Because once you get it down, then it's kind of automatic. So you mentioned the frequency of meditation. So how many times a day? I know you said earlier 20 minutes. So give me the routine here. What's a regular day of meditation look like?
Oh, so it actually changed. In the beginning, I think I did like, then I did like two or three times a day, 20 minutes. As I kept doing it, you know, and started going deeper into this, and then I tried to, you know, it really depends on my schedule, but my goal is like to get, if I can get in 2 hours, then that's completely awesome. If I can get in like 1 hour, that's also great. So what I aim for is like something in between, maybe. So but you know, I think for me, the times when I really need to prioritize this is the days when I don't have the time. You know, when I see that, oh, today I don't really, I'm so stressed, I've got so much to do, then that's probably the day when I should prioritize it the most I can. But you know, some days I can spend time with it. Other days it's like maybe 15 minutes in the morning, and then the day goes and I'm like, oh shit, that was that day, you know. And then I come down and lay down in bed and close my eyes, and then also, you know, I use the meditation also when I'm going to sleep, because then in my experience, it feels like the sleep and the rest I get entering it from the meditative state is even deeper than just regular sleep. So it's every day is different, but usually like 1 hour, 1.5 hour, but that's not where I started, you know. So it's like a building thing.
So you said that meditation improved many areas of your life, and we talked briefly about communication. You mentioned, you know, it improved things with your girlfriend and your family and everything. So what areas would you say have benefited the most? I mean, our whole life benefits from meditation, but what are the areas that you noticed first, and what's been the areas that has improved the most?
The main area that I've seen the most change in and that I experienced the most is, you know, how I feel about myself and how I'm able to stand up much more for myself in situations with others, saying what I want, speaking my mind, you know, being true to myself. I think that's and also feeling that, you know, having the experience that that I'm okay, that I'm an okay guy, you know, I'm someone that's okay, and and I wasn't like very shy or anything before, but I had this small feeling at the back of my head saying like, you know, other people are like maybe just a bit more worthy than you, or so you should be a bit careful what you say, you know, because they're more just tiny bits more worth than you. And I've seen that change, you know, so I hopefully haven't turned into an arrogant person, but I'm definitely more true to myself in terms of saying what I want, saying what I mean, being straightforward and getting straight to the points and speaking my truth.
That's excellent. And I think that's really, really what we all want, is to feel comfortable in our own skin. That is very, very important. All we want is to feel comfortable in our own skin, you know, being proud, being happy, being cool with the men we are, and understanding that we are worthy as people because we're here, not because of any, I have a job, I have good looks, I got a huge one. None of that stuff matters. You know? You are worthy because you are here. You are alive. And you speak your mind. You stand up for yourself. And that's really the key. That's really where it starts, is loving yourself, being your true self, being your genuine self. You know, and not putting anyone else's value above your own. That's very, very, very important. You know, so it's great to hear that that's one of the largest benefits you've gotten out of this.
Yeah. And also, you know, what I see as a result of that is that I'm not, of course, you know, of course I have, I you know, like everybody else, I fall in love. I'm in a relationship. I have a job. I have stuff that I do, but I'm not as attached to those things as I were before, in terms of, you know, I need, if this relationship doesn't work, then I'm not good enough. You know, that's how I, earlier in my life, that's how I would approach that. If I lose my job, or if people say, you know, well, this concert that you did today, it sucked, then I would feel like, oh, my life sucks, you know. But now, of course, I don't want my relationship to go to hell, but if it does, it doesn't change my view on myself. Then it's more like, okay, so we tried our best, didn't work, but both her and I am still great people. It's just that it didn't work.
that's beautiful. I'm glad that you're talking more about this, because, you know, allowing our self-worth to ride on events that go on, is a common problem. Like if you fail at a relationship, or if you lose a job, or if you get rejected by somebody or something, you know, we tell, what's wrong with me that I didn't get this job? What's wrong with me that this relationship didn't work? We always go back and blame ourselves for things that happen to everybody. And if this has helped you, you know, kind of remain independent from the events that happen, even if you care about those events, remaining independent and self-worthy, that's beautiful.
Yeah, you know, one friend of mine who's also a meditation teacher, he said that in you know, from one perspective, everything can be divided into two things. It's the stories that we tell ourselves about our lives, and then there is this other thing, which can be called, silence, or Zen, or the stillness, or God, or whatever. But in my experience, what meditation does, and what this thing that we're talking about now does, is that it, you know, it changes the perspective from judging your life from, like you said, from the events that happens in our lives. Instead of judging ourselves and our life situation from that, then we can look to this other place, you know, which is being present. And when you're present, it doesn't matter what's happened and what's going to happen. Then you can see yourself for what you are, which is something completely awesome.
So how does someone specifically you know, go into your particular method of meditation? How does someone do this? Is this a class for this? Like you're teaching a class for this. So
right.
Can someone go online or somewhere and find out resources to more about this particular method?
Yeah. So the website for this method is it's www.thebrightpath.com. So, well, I'm going to try and spell it. So PATH.com. And so there you'll find all the information about all the weekend courses, which are the introduction courses. And so there are teachers, as far as I know, in the States, in Europe, in Asia, and in Australia. I don't think that there's someone in Africa. And also, you know, if you go on YouTube and search for Ascension Meditation or Ascension The Bright Path, then you'll find interviews with people who've learned it. You'll find like videos of people talking about how it works for them and for, you know, for some of the like main teachers who are like teaching like world like globally. So there's both a lot of information on the courses and also like videos and interviews and stuff, which can be very inspiring.
So cool. Now, has meditation brought you to, or just in general, do you do any other practices in addition to meditation? So has meditation led you to more practices, or do you include more practices in your routine to, you know, stay up and confident and everything? So what goes along with this meditation? Do you do other things?
So, you know, the meditation in itself is just like, it's just about that. But for myself, when I saw and started to become more conscious of what my actual needs were, when I started to meditating, I realized that, you know, I would like to go in and do some more like workout. So I attended some yoga classes. I started swimming. I started doing all this kind of physical stuff. Which was great, you know, and it came like a result of the meditation, because I was able to see my own needs more clearly. And so, I think that's like the main thing that I've, you know, started to take care of myself, both mentally and also physically, in terms of like working my body. So I'm not like, you know, Superman and trying to become like super fit. The reason why I do it is just like, you know, it's to have a happy life. When my mind is spinning and I'm thinking about a lot of stuff, either I can sit down and meditate, or I'll go and grab for like 45 minutes in the pool and do some swimming. And then, well, it clears the head.
Meditation brought you to even more healthy practices like yoga and working out. And when you start those other practices, let's say if you were motivated from the meditation to start yoga and working out, or maybe changing your diet or whatever it is, it all it does is just domino, and it just makes you feel better and better and better. And then you gain more self-worth, and it's all a domino effect. And I practice regular meditation. And I've definitely seen benefits from that. You know, I'll do a show on that one day about my own benefits, but Definitely. So I've definitely enjoyed all of this. This has been great as far as just delivering the importance of meditation. And I will say, even if you don't necessarily, even if my listeners, if you don't necessarily look up this particular form of meditation, just adopt a form of meditation, even if it's just deep breathing, even if it's just, you know, sitting in silence, deep breathing, clearing your mind. Start somewhere. And allow that beginning to take hold and grow, and you'll see the benefits out of that. So what, for people who are listening right now, what is the first thing that someone can do right now after this show is over to start the practice of meditation without having the very first thing?
You said, I think I just, you know, sit down, maybe set the alarm for like 15 minutes and focus on your breath. And thoughts may come up, emotions may come up. You may get stuck on a thought stream and going with it. But in the moment, that you, when you realize that, oh, now I'm thinking, then come back and focus on the breath. And focusing on the breath isn't hard, you know, and it doesn't require the breath to like go like in a certain pattern or whatever. It's just focusing on it. The breath works itself. So, and also one practical thing about getting more present is I would, you know, it's classic, but I'd say, you know, follow your heart. If you follow your heart, you know, if you're going to make a choice and you're not certain where to go, just follow your heart. And you'll see, you'll see when you choose and start going, your heart will immediately tell you if this was the right thing or this was the wrong thing. So because the heart is always present in a real way, you know.
Absolutely. All right. Well, definitely. Thank you, sir, for coming on and telling everyone about the great news about meditation. I definitely appreciate it. It's been a great conversation. And, you know, we all want to be stronger, better men. We all want to be more present. We all want to be our most genuine selves. And that's it. And if that doesn't motivate you, then, hey, you get better sex out of it. So, and the reason why you do is the reason why every other part of life gets better. You're more present. You know, because sometimes when we're doing activities, regardless on what it is, you know, we have a story in our mind about what activities we're doing, and we kind of have our mind drift away from what we're doing, depending on what stories we're telling ourselves about that activity. And meditation kind of brings us back to the present of that experience. So our performance improves. So, yeah. All right. Good stuff. I appreciate you coming on the program all the way from Norway.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, your arm's tired. So thank you, sir, for coming on the program.
My pleasure.
All right. You know, I guess I don't know how to keep my beak shut. These shows aren't supposed to be longer than an hour. That's what I intended, but it doesn't look like it's happening that way. But thank you for joining the program today, The Core Confidence Life, making you a better man every day, living from your soul. For more information and to figure out, you know, how to hire me so we can work together so you can take more control of your life, go to coreconfidencelife.com. That's coreconfidencelife.com. And until next time, take up a meditation routine so you can lower those cortisol levels. And I will speak to you next time here on The Core Confidence Life.